Welcome to New Thinking for a New World, a Tilburg Foundation podcast. I am Alan Stoga, your host. Each week, I bring you conversations with people who think differently about the great issues that are shaping our world. Geopolitics, disruptive tech, mass migration, the changing climate, culture wars, all of it is grist for our mill. I hope you enjoy listening. I also hope you will let me know what you think and that you join the conversation at tilburgfoundation.org. And now for today's episode of New Thinking for a New World. Last Sunday, the French voted in the first of a two-round snap parliamentary election called by President Macron after his centrist party came in a poor third in the recent European elections. Although it's hard to imagine that anyone other than the president was surprised, the results in the national elections were more or less the same. Marine Le Pen's right-wing National Rally Party won a bit more than 33% of the vote. A coalition of leftist parties, the New Popular Front, won 28%. And Macron's centrist party again came in third, 22%. Headlines around the world talked about a landslide for Le Pen and speculated that the RN might win an absolute majority of legislative seats in the July 7th second round this coming Sunday. While that is one of the possibilities, it's not clear, at least to me, whether it's the most likely one. What does seem clear is that French politics has entered an incredibly volatile, unpredictable, perhaps dangerous period. In this year of global elections, the cynic in me is tempted to say, why should they be different from the rest of us? Alice Barb is a French political and social activist. The organization she co-founded, the Academy of Future Leaders, sounds much better in French, works with civic leaders in France to help them help make them more impactful, which among other things, I think, is trying to help them become good politicians. It's fair to say that Alice is firmly on the left of the political spectrum in her country. Welcome, Alice, to New Thinking for New World.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'd like to start not with the outcome of the legislative elections, although we'll get to the details, but with the overall political mood in your country. From a distance, it sounds like most people, or at least many people, are angry, unhappy with the status quo, looking for change, even if there is a huge debate whether that change should be to the left or to the right of what exists now. What do you think?
Well, the way it has been put in the past weeks, including by President Macron and the government, may lead us to feel that way. But to me, the problem about the far right has been here for so many years. When you look at it, the party of Marine Le Pen was founded by her father, Jean-Marie Le Pen, and it was called the Front National, the National Front, not the Rassemblement National, the National Rally. And it was created by Jean-Marie Le Pen, who himself has been supporting French collaboration with Adolf Hitler, and himself has been accused of torture in Algeria during the decolonization. So the very roots of his party are like obviously far right, but I would also say some kind of Nazi or fascist. And this has always been very clear. Although he managed to make this party become bigger and bigger with time, and his daughter has succeeded in making it mainstream. What they have been doing, not only the party, but also all the ecosystem of far right in France, but in all democracies, is that they are organizing themselves. They have schools, massive schools, with thousands of people who go there and train to become political leaders, to work in office, to become influencers. In France, for instance, we have 45 influencers that have more than a million views per month. This is big. And this is the only political influencers that we get with this kind of data, of results. They have the schools. They have been organizing also in the media. Well, that's not new. That's everywhere in all democracy, unfortunately. Our media, like the one of the richest men owning the like I would say nearly half the media in France is openly voting far right and supporting Marine Le Pen. But even more than that, he's supporting the guy that is even more radical than Marine Le Pen, called Éric Zemmour, who entered politics 2 years ago. So it's all about, to me, it's all about a cultural battle that has been happening in the past four decades, I would say, with a big acceleration in the past 10 years. And meanwhile, it's not a question of left or right. Meanwhile, the parties and all the forces that usually engage in politics have been a bit lazy. They haven't been working in terms of mobilizing people, creating narratives. And if we have to talk about the left, they haven't been good in helping people to not be scared about the challenges that we are facing. The world is facing massive challenges. So there is this lack of interest, this lack of love for pro-democracy politicians, Republican politicians. I know in the US, democracy and Democrats and Republicans mean something else than for us. But we have left the space open for them. And due to that, I see today, like it happened in the US, people are starting, especially in the past 2 weeks, to express their racism, to express their sexism. One of the very important symbols for me is on LinkedIn. When people start expressing their political opinions on LinkedIn, that means something is bad, because now people are not afraid to say they're voting for Marine Le Pen on LinkedIn, which is a social media where you don't talk about politics.
But Alice, let me interrupt just a second, because I want to get to what is the left. What does far right or hard right mean in France? But before we do that, so the way you've just answered my question sounds like you think the problem is the politicians, that people are fine. They're okay with what's going on, and they're being manipulated by political leaders. I'm asking, why are people voting the way they're voting in the European elections last week, next week? Is it about the narrative, as you said, that politicians are presenting, or is it about the objective facts of their conditions?
Well, there are several elements here. One is the one I was mentioning, is the cultural battle, the metapolitical fight. There is an Italian academics called Antonio Gramsci, who was in jail most of his life, and he has developed the theory of the cultural battle, saying that you cannot win a political fight if you haven't won the cultural fight. So there is this whole process from the far right of implementing their ideas through narratives. Like, we have one expression that was 40 years ago that nobody was using because it was considered as too radical. It's the Great Replacement, a kind of horrible idea that Muslim immigrants would have a plan to replace white people in France. And now the far right is using those words, but also other political leaders are using those words even to defeat that. But that means that they have won on this narrative fight. So it's,
when you say they, you've just said it's not just the right that's using that.
The far right.
It's not just the far right. In what sense are they far right? I guess that's a question, because the rest of the world is trying to understand what's going on in France. What makes them far right as opposed to right? I mean, these are distinctions that you know perfectly well, but the rest of us are trying to understand.
Well, historically, after the French Revolution, when we created in the 18th century, when we created the first citizen assembly to decide about the future of the country and how to create a republic, there were the people that wanted the king to not lead anymore. There were the people people in the parliament that were against monarchy, and those guys were sitting on the left of the parliament. And there were the guys that were saying, no, we need to continue with the monarchy in a way or another. And they were sitting on the right in the parliament. So this is how left and right arrived in our language. And today it refers, if we talk in terms of political parties, for like all the time in the Republic, we've had, well, let's say in the past, for the in the past 50, 60 years, even more than that, so gosh, there were the Socialist Party that was embodying the left. That was the biggest party from the left with socialist ideas. There were the Communist Party that has become weaker and weaker with years. And in the past years, more recently, the Green Party and another one from radical left, led by someone that maybe you know, called Jean-Luc Mélenchon. So this was kind of the ecosystem of the left until Macron came. Because before Macron was elected as president, he was Minister of Economy under President François Hollande, and François Hollande was socialist. And then before Macron, we had a right-wing party called Les Républicains, the party of, let's say, Nicolas Sarkozy, the former president. That is traditional right, in favor of the French Republic, with traditional values, conservative and economically liberal. So this was the situation we had. And then Macron, who was coming from the Socialist Party, created this movement saying, I'm half left, I'm half right. And the real enemy here is the far right, the party of Marine Le Pen. And he got elected thanks to his popularity. And indeed, that was appealing for a lot of people to be like, oh, okay, he's half left, half right, good. And his election, his first election in 2017, has literally killed the left parties and the right parties. But killed, like during the next presidential elections, the socialists 2 years ago, they had like, I think it was 3%, something less than 5%, as well as the right, Les Républicains. So that created a whole new paradigm in which, there is now the far right of Marine Le Pen that is considered as a major right-wing player, Macron and his party that is considered not center anymore, he's more considered as a form of right-wing. And what was magical in the past weeks is that all the left that was divided and fighting on very, very sensitive and crucial issues such as Gaza, anti-Semitism, Russia, Putin, they all get united, and now they are forming the left of the country.
So one last question about the national rally. What does I understand the roots argument. I understand Jean-Marie Le Pen. I hear a set of policy prescriptions from them, noise from them, that doesn't sound particularly far right. I've had one American call me up this week and say, they sound like they're leftist, their economics are leftist. Now, that's an American who has left and right all confused, put that aside. But to you, they are. I tried saying right several times, and you kept on correcting me, far right. So I'll accept far right. But what makes them far right in terms of as they exist now? Or are you essentially arguing or imagining that if they came to power, they would revert to some status quo ante, more Jean-Marie than Marie Le Pen?
So you're absolutely right. The party of Marine Le Pen can be sometimes considered as more social than the left. And a lot of people in the middle class are voting for them because they promise a lot of help for the people that are suffering from economic inequalities. That's very true. Her father wasn't like that, but she made the party more social measures. But let's remember that we're in Europe, and the horrible legacy of the fascist and Nazi parties is very, very, very has a lot of weight here. I insist on far right first because the state, the Conseil d'État, the French authority for elections and the one that is supposed to control the government, has qualified Marine Le Pen's party as far right. That, like, it is legally their status. They're not considered as being right wing. They're, like, legally far right party. Why? Because they have programs that are based on, for instance, national preference. they would say that a French person would be more. It's normal that a French person gets some jobs, and a non-French person don't. They are planning on canceling the right of birth, of the right to citizenship due to birth, due to the ground. Sorry, due to the place where you're born. So basically, if you're born with foreign parents in France. Usually, you can have French nationality when you're 18. They will delete that, so you won't be able to get automatically French nationality. Even if you're born in France and you grow up in France and you speak French, and they are also planning on making the hijab illegal in all the country. So basically, and that's just a few examples
to make the hijab illegal in France.
But it's just basically a few examples about their racist vision, their racist ideologies. But they also have like some very anti-right and anti-gender ideologies. When we had to put the abortion in the French Constitution, Marine Le Pen voted in favor just to show that, oh, no, look, we're not sexist. But the whole group, we had 88 members of parliament from our party. They didn't vote for that. They were against it. And what we see right now with the elections is that this new army of candidates, MPs coming from their parties, are basically very racist, sexist, Nazi, and there is like this conspiracy theories about everything, more or less, like the vaccine, obviously, but also on negationism about the Shoah and the genocide that happened with Hitler. It's a bunch of ideologies that are the direct legacy of what we had in 1940 to 1945.
What do war lessons from Gaza, rethinking education, peace in Ukraine and visionary leadership have in common? They are all themes from recent episodes of this podcast. Check out more episodes on talbergfoundation.org or on a platform of your choice.
Let's jump forward to where we are today. President Macron did not have to call this election. It was his choice.
Yes.
After the results of the European parliamentary elections to say, We need an election today. Was that a bad decision?
It was the worst decision ever. I'm sorry if sometimes I don't make sense because we barely sleep for the past 2 weeks.
I told a friend the other day that he gets the David Cameron Award for dumb political ideas right up there with Brexit. But that's my own bias. So tell me.
No. We just had a big campaign for European elections. We weren't like, none of us was expecting that, at least before September, because this political situation is very hard. Like Macron, until the dissolution, didn't have an absolute majority. So every time that they had to make a vote, they would have to compromise with other parties. And other countries, they do it well in Europe, but we don't. We are not good in compromising and creating coalitions in France. The left was divided. The right was weakened. The far right was jumping in the pools, was winning the European elections in France. And Macron had didn't stand a chance to not lose members of parliament with the dissolution. But he was planning to do that in September. Why in September? Because at least people could have rest after the European election. Now what we witness is a president that is, to me, going through a very bad depression, not able to take decision, not able to communicate, very frustrated of not being the center of attention. Because the day he took this decision, in the evening, all his supporters were like, oh my God, he's a genius, he has a plan. The day after, trust me, they were all depressed saying, my God, he doesn't have a plan, he's crazy. And now they all told him, you're crazy, you shouldn't have done that. And he's like, no, but I want to be in the center of attention because I want to be the hero defeating Marine Le Pen. But that doesn't work because people are just tired of Macron and really shocked about this strategy that he had. So right now, the prime minister, Gabriel Attal, is the one leading the campaign for Macron's party, but Gabriel Attal just did 6 months of a campaign for the European elections. Like everybody in this country, like all political actors are exhausted. Jordan Bardella, the candidate of Marine Le Pen, he had an anxiety crisis during a meeting very recently. They're all exhausted and tired, and Macron took the worst decision ever. And I just don't know, like, how is it possible that we are governed by this type of incapable men?
Election will occur on Sunday. There will be a new parliament. It's always a mistake to try to guess precisely, is this going to happen or is that going to happen? But broadly, it does seem like there are two possibilities, and I'd like you to correct me if I'm wrong. On the one hand, not the highest probability that the National Rally wins an absolute majority and forms government cohabitation. I think far more likely is nobody wins an absolute majority. And since you can't have another election for a year, some kind of technocratic government somehow gets put together with, as the prime minister has argued, issue by issue support in the parliament, which is a formula for, to use a nice word, paralysis. Are those the two most likely options, or am I missing something?
Those are the two most likely options. I don't have a crystal ball. I wish the Front Populaire, the Union of the Left, would have a chance. And honestly, they are good. They are doing a really good job. The civil society is supporting them. Their results have been very impressive. And we have way more voters than in all last elections. We have four times plus voters than usually. So this is like, we could believe that maybe the left could win. We could believe that. Personally, I don't think so, and I'm preparing myself to live in a country governed by fascists. And to be truth, I'm now with the Academy for Future Leaders. We are mobilizing all our networks, teachers, allies, to create a platform for national resistance, because it has started yet. The people in the street, because they are gay, are being beaten in the street now for the past 2 weeks. This has increased. There are people that are Arabic, and some other are trying to kill them in the street during the day. That wasn't that much before. That was here. Obviously, it was, the climate is deteriorating, but it's more and more and more. And I think that right now, all we need to do is to learn how to protect ourselves, when they will come and get immigrants, when they will deport French Algerian people, because their program also includes deportation of people that have a French and Algerian nationality.
Only because that would require them to be in the majority.
All of this would require them to be in the majority. But to me, this is the scenario that is most likely. And they declared this morning that even if they don't have the absolute majority, if they come near, they will be prime minister. They will appoint Bardella as prime minister. They will want Bardella to be appointed as prime minister. And Macron is going to do that. And the idea of a technical government, like absolutely no one now is really thinking about it or talking about it. So I don't know, because it never happened in our republic, never.
Let's talk just for another moment about the new Popular Front, because as you've already said, one of the surprises of this election campaign has been the left coming together in a way that it had not done for a long time. The problem also, as you said, is you've got the socialists, the Greens, Mélenchon's France Unbound, the communists, and others. It's a strange enough collection that my understanding is they refused to decide in advance who might be their prime minister, because that would require all sorts of conversations they simply don't have time to have right now. Is this just a union of like-minded people in the face of a threat? Or is there some staying power there? Is there something new going on in French politics that might evolve into a real coherent force? Once again, I should say.
Well, first, let's start by saying this is a miracle what happened with the Front Populaire. Like, they gathered, like, they launched the idea of the Front Populaire the very same night that Macron dissolved with, and they were all surprised by the dissolution. In 24 hours, they agreed on rallying. In 48 hours, they agreed on a program. And in 72 hours, they agreed on all candidates. Like, we're talking about 577 candidates for the whole country. Who is going to get what? Like, the Socialist Party, how many do they get? Like, 200 districts, or is France Insoumise taking more? So that's a miracle. The problem is that when that happened, after 3 days it happened, Macron went on TV and said, I'm the only one capable to defeat the extremes. So he labeled the Front Populaire as extreme left. We have the Front Populaire that is going from the more communist, most communist party to François Hollande, that is not really considered anymore as a socialist by a big part of the left. So it's a giant union, and everybody agreed, and their motto has been for the past weeks, it has been, we work now, we fight after. And I believe in what's going on. Of course, we have some troubles because Mélenchon was let's say the biggest and more influent political actor from this whole range of left. He is the one who arrived third in the last presidential elections. He represents a radical left, obviously, and he is very polarizing, and he has a lot of defects. I can say clearly that a lot of people really hate him, and he's kind of a problem in all this union because he's very, very polarizing, and he has obviously... let's say problematic ideas for Ukraine, for Venezuela, in favor of Russia, and the Gaza conflict. Obviously, he's been very divisive, very, very divisive on topics that are already very divisive. So far he's been, let's say, wise. He doesn't talk. So it's good. Like, he talks a little, but everybody's putting pressure so that he doesn't embody the movement because he's hated by a part of the left. So he can't be the person that, let's say, would become prime minister if Front Populaire wins. Obviously, there's very few people that want that.
As we wrap up this conversation, I want to widen the aperture a bit. As I suggested at the start, the situation in France, deep divide between right and left, little room in the center, harsh, aggressive campaigning over really important fundamental issues of both culture, as you pointed out, but also policy, hyper-partisanship, populism, zero-sum politics, you got to win or you die, erosion of shared values. Those, and I exaggerate to make the point, those conditions seem to exist in a lot of countries in the West. Your own country, the United States, Britain, Germany, etc. All of that worries the hell out of me, but is my caricature too black? Is this the normal pull and tug of the evolution of political systems, or are we in a bad place?
Well, we're in a bad place, but, you know, the thing with democracy is supposed to exist for more than 2,000 years. But on the scale of history, me as a woman have the right to vote for like 2 minutes. Same for people of color, same for poor people. History is a zigzag, you zig, you zag, towards something that is always supposed to be better. And democracy is something we really need to cherish and care. We're in the middle of a backlash, but I remain hopeful that things will evolve in a positive way. Maybe it won't be my generation. Maybe it will be my son's generation. What I see today is that everybody's scared. Like, I am scared. We're scared. We're scared because not only because the fascists are about to govern the world. This is my fear, but not the fear of many people in my country. But we are scared because of economic inequalities that are rising, inflation that is worse than ever. We're scared because we know that the planet is burning and we can't, like, as citizens, we are not capable of changing that. I am personally scared if I walk in the street that a man harass me. So we are scared as citizens. And what the far right is really good at is to answer those fears by pointing at an enemy. And this enemy would be the immigrants or Europe or feminists or the financial elite. I think that this momentum right now is terrible, but we need to think about where it could be an opportunity to do better, to be better, and to protect democracy. Because I'm just speaking and commenting on the political life in France, but in the end of the day, when I go to bed, I don't think about all of that. I think, okay, what can we do right here, right now, to preserve the future generations and preserve democracy? Maybe it's not going to be on Sunday for French people. Maybe it's going to be in 3 years. Maybe, because obviously they will shut down most of our nonprofits, including mine, if they come to power. But what can we do and how can we be strategic about it? Because it's not about next week, it's about the next decade.
Let's leave it there because I can't imagine a better way to end this conversation. Alice Barb, co-founder of the Academy of Future Leaders in France, thank you for this conversation and good luck on Sunday.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of New Thinking for a New World. I'm Alan Stoga, podcast host, and I look forward to your joining our next conversation. Remember, tell us what you think at telbergfoundation.org.